Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now,
on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
I want to move to Florida. Wait, what did I say? I'm sorry. It's just cold still. That was not a commentary on Governor DeSantis' statement yesterday, which I found to be a mixed bag, to say the least. We'll get into those details coming up in a little bit. Good morning. It's Larry O'Connor here alongside Julie Gundlach.
Good morning.
I just want to move to Florida because it's pretty and it's warm. And I was just looking at some pictures on social media of people living their best life in Florida. And I wonder why I still have to wake up when it's 30-something degrees. Could spring please get a move on
no,
here?
No, I like seasons. Seasons are good. It makes you anticipate the warmth.
I'm
excited for it.
I've been anticipating since October. Coming up at 7:05, James Rosen will be here. Boy, it was quite a scene in the press room yesterday at the White House. We'll talk to James Rosen about that. He had a front row seat. 7:35, Tom Rousey. D.C. Metro fare evasion story. He's all over it. How many people do you think have been jumping the fare? Well, Metro's finally telling us, and it's worse than you think. 8:05, our friend Ian Pryor. Look at Ian Pryor all grown up with a brand new book.
Yes.
He's got a book about the parents' movement, and we'll speak with Ian coming up at 8:05. And then at 8:35, Andy McCarthy, legal analyst on, I guess, what could be the day the president gets arrested. I don't know why Tuesday was the day that Donald Trump decided to say that there might be something, but...
He had something going on Monday.
We'll see what happens today. I don't think something's going to happen today. We'll see. And yes, we've got Governor DeSantis breaking his silence, sort of, on this thing. I think this was an off-the-cuff remark that he made. I don't think that was a planned response. They may have talked about it, you know, behind the scenes, but I don't think he expected to make his announcement. So we'll deliver that statement. We'll analyze it. We'll discuss the political fallout and, of course, the legal fallout of this outrageous Soros DA up in Manhattan, basically trying to take conservatives, starting with their leaders, and throw them in gulags. No big deal. You know, just a manufactured crisis.
Right, right.
This is a serious problem. So we'll get to that coming up. But can we revisit this guy named David French?
You know, do we have to?
We do. He's incredibly important. I remember...
his own greatest fan.
On this very program during the 2016 primaries, when things were a little crazy, and there were, you know, Bill Kristol was leading the Never Trump revolt, and he used to come on the show to talk about the Never Trump thing.
Yeah.
And of course, and by the way, this is one of the reasons why I try to stay, you know, I mean, listen, I tell you how I feel, but I'm also not, you know, you're dead to me. I won't talk to you. I disagreed with Bill Kristol, but I would entertain conversations with Bill Kristol. It was a fascinating development within the conservative movement that there were some people that just refused. They said they're going to go their own way. They're going to find their own candidate.
But
right?
At that time that you were talking to Bill Kristol, I assume, he still held on to his conservative principles.
Well, see, that's the difference. They still think they do. Mm. They still think they're the real conservatives. And on this program, on this very show, on this very radio station... Bill Kristol said, "Yeah, we're finding our own candidate. We've got somebody. Oh, I think God, he's going to run, and he's going to be the third party candidate who the conservatives can vote for and feel good about themselves, and it'll be a game changer." It turned out a couple of days later, it was David French.
I mean, it was the laugh line. It was the laugh line of the year.
Never forget in the interview, is this somebody that we all know? Oh yes, he's a very recognizable name. He's very famous. Everybody, it's like nobody knows who David French is.
I remember
except people who go have dinner at Bill Kristol's house.
I remember I was at a dinner. One of these Washington D.C. sort of, you know, liberty organization, and that was a laugh line. That was like a punchline.
Guess who Bill Kristol found to run against Trump?
I mean, there wasn't a bigger laugh moment in the dinner.
David French is a very good writer. He wrote at National Review. He was a mainstay byline that you would check on a regular basis to see what David French is writing about, and he often wrote about the intersection of law, military, and faith. Okay, those are his. He's a lawyer. He served in the Iraq War.
He also actually litigated cases of First Amendment violations on university campuses.
Yes,
so he actually had
freedom
kind
of speech for conservatives.
There was sort of this
campus
cult following among young people because he was such a warrior for religious speech on campuses.
Yeah, but then Never Trump put him in a position. It broke him. It basically. And again, Bill Kristol and Jonah Goldberg and Stephen Hayes and David French and on and on and on, the Never Trump leadership, they claim that they're still the true principled conservatives.
Yes.
Okay. And there's a real good way to test that. Do you still project the same policies and same ideas and same principles and same values that you held before Trump, right? That would be the perfect. It's like if you're the ones who have been holding on to principled conservative values this whole time, the only ones who are still representing real conservatism, because the rest of us have gone astray because of Trump, then what you believe today would be exactly what you believed in 2014. And here's the problem. All of them, over the course of the last couple of years, have said, oh, yeah, you know, we really don't need a enforcement of our immigration laws. In fact, we need more immigration. I'll never forget when Bill Kristol was at some seminar, first year of the Trump administration. It was like in early, it was like, I know this because I was working at Weekly Standard at the time, because I was part of the, I was going to be part of the redefining of the brand, and then they fired me, so how'd that go? I think it was, may have been in February of Trump's first term, so the first month of his presidency, and Bill Kristol went to a, was speaking at a panel, and he said, you know, some would argue, and I think I would agree with them, that we need radical immigration in this country like every 10 years to basically, because American citizens end up getting too tired and too lazy, and they don't want to work. Ugh. And so we need to constantly get immigrants into this country. So this is, you know, the disdain. But did you believe that when you were chief of staff for Dan Quayle?
Right.
Did you believe that when you were advising John McCain that he should pick Sarah Palin as his running mate, Bill Kristol?
Ultimately,
did you believe that when you were on the Fox
right.
News panel on a daily basis?
Ultimately, a lot of these people who we thought were sort of, you know, warriors on the right turned out to be just basically snobs.
Yeah.
Right.
Like those people we named, plus Jonathan Last.
Oh, right. Oh, God.
Jonathan Last and David. David French, no, I'll leave him out of this. But Bill Kristol and Jonathan Last famously now have admitted, yeah, they're not really against abortion.
Well, I mean,
they opposed Kavanaugh. They opposed the Dobbs decision.
Yeah.
They opposed, you know, David French actually has said, oh, yeah, this Dobbs decision might end up being worse than having Roe v. Wade. So who's the real conservative
here?
No,
exactly. And it has been really shocking, particularly on the abortion issue, to see how these people have been silent since Dobbs, how they are silent on the fact that we would not have Dobbs without a President Biden, Trump presidency, who put up Kavanaugh and others for the judgeship, that we wouldn't have Dobbs.
Right. Jonah Goldberg famously immediately didn't believe the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Oh, yeah, and ridiculed people.
Host.
I mean, that's the thing about Jonah.
Right.
All he does is make fun of people. And I will tell you, Jonah even sort of has stepped away from his own book, Liberal Fascism.
Big time.
Yeah.
And all of them, by the way, that I just mentioned, it goes without saying, were early investors in the Russian collusion hoax.
Oh, yes. I mean,
beating the drum that Donald Trump was at. So they bought into all of that as well. So who's the real conservative? And here's the latest one now. David French. David French last week wrote an article. Here's David French's progression. He went from National Review to The Dispatch.
To The Atlantic.
Did he start at The Bulwark, though?
He went right to The Dispatch. Yes.
Then to The Atlantic.
Yes.
And now to The New York Times.
His columns at The New York Times have been a liberal's dream.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Because all it is criticizing evangelicals, criticizing true conservatives.
And Trump supporters.
And
not just the people, but also the positions, the conservative positions. And his article last week basically said, you know, all of this hysteria about transgender issues, this should really be about the doctors. The doctors and the children. And guess what? There are some parents out there who are bigots. And they did. So suddenly he's now, you know, all these kids, we should stay out of it. The true conservative position is to stay out of this decision from transgender children and parents and their doctors.
Just remarkable. And Larry, I know we want to get to how he's reversed, but it is his latest column is basically saying kids are dealing with anxiety and depression because of their parents.
Yes.
It's remarkable.
We are going to get into that in detail in a moment. And on what he used to say about transgender procedures.
Yes.
So you can see the progression of David French. Just so you know, we'll let you decide who the real true conservatives are. But first, it's 5:15, WMAL traffic and weather. Every 10 minutes, first on the fives with Lisa Baden.
Your favorite WMAL shows when you want them. Download the new WMAL app and listen on demand.
So last week, David French, again, you all got lectured to by these people. You were ridiculed. You were called, you know, knuckle dragon, mouth breathing, MAGA hat wearing Neanderthals. Racists, by the way, intolerant racists, xenophobic. You know, it's amazing how quickly they basically jump right into what the liberal left has done for the last several decades in how they characterize conservatives. This is what they've always thought about you, because you dared to think that maybe Donald Trump would be a better choice for president than Hillary Clinton. That was your crime. That was your sin. And they proclaimed that they were the real true conservatives. And listen, we lay this out here because I have no doubt that at some point in your inner thoughts, you may have thought, did I change?
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with me? Because I used to love Jonah Goldberg. I used to love Bill Crist. These guys were great.
Yeah.
Am I the problem? You are not the problem. They are the problem. Last week, David French, this whole transgender thing. Ron DeSantis is icky. He should stay out of this. Let kids and their doctors figure this out. Seth Dillon, the guy who runs Babylon Bee, he points out a 2016 article. So this is during the Trump campaign for president. 2016 article from David French in National Review, talking about a lawsuit that was in North Carolina. I'll just jump in. North Carolina's lawsuit represents a direct challenge to the notion that the Equal Employment Opportunity Corporation can amend federal law merely by changing its interpretation. This is during the Obama administration. It also challenges the very idea that requiring people to use bathrooms that correspond with their biological sex represents sex discrimination. Let me pause there. Remember the innocent times when this whole transgender thing was about bathrooms?
Yeah.
Before it was about mutilating a 14-year-old child?
Mm-hmm.
And removing her perfectly healthy breasts.
Or sexual organs.
Yeah, this was about bathrooms. When the Obama administration, I'll continue with David French. The Obama administration credulously buys the notion that a man in a dress or a man who has been surgically mutilated is now a woman, in quotation marks. And it seeks to enforce that notion with the full power of the federal government. As I said before, quack science meets quack law, and the Constitution is the casualty. That was David French when he was right.
Yeah.
And that was the conservative position. And you have not changed.
And we have not changed. I mean, no. Largely conservatives have not changed.
By the way, Seth Dillon also points out one reader on Twitter replied to him, chastising him for using the term mutilation in this sense. David French's reply, again, this is dated May 9th, 2016. David French said, mutilation is still mutilation, even when done with a scalpel.
Yep.
And just last week, now getting his money from the New York Times, David French said, you're the problem because you think that maybe the government should step in with children.
He's
talking about
too.
Adults here. And you're just saying, hey, let's protect children in this.
Yeah, he's very smart, too, because he's using this idea. He did a big Twitter thread on this as well. He now says he's using the language of the right, which is parents are in charge. So he's using the language of the right to say, if parents agree to this, and he in one point at one of his tweets, he says, you know, if parents decide, along with good advice from their doctors, that a child should have his penis removed, that's fine, right? So he's using this sort of, this is what we talk about, parents' rights all the time,
right?
DeSantis
is getting in the way of parents' rights.
There's a bill in Congress right now to sort of shore up parents' rights. So he's using that language. So to the reader, you're like, wait a minute, is he right? But this is important to understand. We are dealing with a crisis of Munchausen by proxy in this country. There are plenty of parents who do want to trans their kids in order to get that intersectionality sort of credit that, like, they move up the line. Oh, I have a transgender child. So see, there's a lot of sickness among
that.
This is called child abuse.
That is a thing. But also, frankly, I think the bigger problem is there are a lot of parents who really are confused and don't know what to do.
That's what I was just
and
about
the advice they
yes.
do get from psychologists and doctors
yes.
is all one side of straight.
And
you're not even psychologists are not allowed to offer
right.
a second opinion.
We know this. And last year, Billboard Chris put up this incredibly frightening video showing the training of doctors and how to coerce parents into agreeing to this. And they say things like, your child will commit suicide. You have to do this. It's better for them.
Yeah.
So we know that the medical community is totally bought into this.
And I'll.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Use one of David French's and Bill Kristol's and Jonah Goldberg's and Steve Hayes' favorite tricks on them now. David French, you know that too. You're fully aware of that. You know it, and you're denying it because you're cashing a nice New York Times check now. But you're the one that's changed, sir, and you know it.
Now. On News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
We're off and rolling here on this Tuesday morning. It's Tuesday, right? Tuesday? Let's call it a Tuesday. This Tuesday morning in the nation's capital. Yes, we're going to talk about the, well, of course, we're going to talk about the pending Trump arrest, if there is one. We're not sure. But we did have Ron DeSantis comment on it yesterday.
Oh, yes, finally.
And that is moving things along. And we've got more guests to talk about those issues as well. Look who we got, 705 James Rosen, who was literally sitting right behind that reporter in the press room yesterday when all hell broke loose.
Oof.
All because of Ted Lasso. That's a
No, it's we'll get into it.
Karine Jean-Pierre's problem. 735, Tom Rousey of Channel 7 on D.C. Metro fare evasion stats that'll blow your mind. 805 Ian Pryor's brand new book. And then at the 835, we will revisit the Trump issue here with Andrew McCarthy. The Trump issue. I don't know why we're calling it the Trump issue. It's the Soros prosecutor issue up in New York. That's all coming. I mean, we've got our analysis as well. We'll let you know what Governor DeSantis said yesterday if you haven't heard it yet. And we'll let you know our opinion about it. But, you know, we're celebrating this week the 3-year anniversary of 15 days to slow the spread. Now, I know that sounds weird, but let's face it, 1,098 days to slow the spread just didn't have the quite the same sort of hook, right?
Right.
You want to be able to grab people.
Yeah.
And also, we would have never agreed to it if we were told 1,098 days. So PBS is putting out this sort of, They're looking back at the 3 years.
Retrospective.
Right? Retrospective. And they have this just beautiful film that was captured June of 2021 in the Anacostia neighborhood of D.C. This is, you know, this is Southeast D.C. This is highly African-American community. It's basically the inner city.
Oh, yeah.
Of D.C.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser went door-to-door with Anthony Fauci and this whole camera crew.
Yep.
Because they wanted to document them, you know, doing the heroic work of convincing the people of this neighborhood to get inoculated, to get the vaccine, right, to get the shot. And this video, I think they wanted to put this out here to show, look at the ignorance that Anthony Fauci and Mayor Bowser had to deal with.
Yes.
When trying to convince people to get the shot. And I think what really ended up happening was quite the opposite effect. Uh-huh. Here, listen.
So I'm not going to be lining up taking a shot on a vaccination for something that wasn't clear in the first place. And then you all create a shot in miraculous time. It takes years to create vaccination.
Okay, so why does this man believe this? This is, again, June of 2021. Biden administration just started 5 months before, 4 months before. We're coming off the 2020 election. Why would this man think there's no way they got a vaccine done in time? This thing is dangerous. Because that's what Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Andrew Cuomo, and every leader of the Democrats said during the election.
Yes.
On a daily basis. Don't trust Trump's shot.
Yes.
That's what they were saying.
That's right.
And he listened.
Well, it used to take years.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You know how many years we're invested in this approach? About 20 years of science.
I don't want to say he's lying here because it's true what he just said, but it is so incredibly disingenuous and frankly disinformation, because he's referring to the mRNA technology that was invented by Dr. Robert
Malone.
That's
right.
And we've interviewed. So he says, do you know how many years went into this approach? You heard him use that
approach.
Word to give himself a safety net. But not this shot, not what's in this serum that gets shot into your arm. That was developed over the course of a couple of months and without having the benefit of the original virus from China, because they still haven't released it to us.
Right.
So they sort of reversed engineered it and they hoped for the best.
Yep.
And I'm not criticizing them for doing that, but he's basically making this guy think like, we researched this thing for 20 years.
That's exactly right. Yep.
And Robert Malone, the doctor himself, has said, this was never intended.
We know why it was produced rapidly is because some of the regulations around vaccine development were simply dropped. They were waived because
of the extraordinary circumstances.
It usually is like a baton race where you run and then you have to wait for one test to be done before another test is done. And they did them consecutively. Now, some have argued that this is how vaccines should be produced. We take way too long.
Right. We become the test study.
And that's a debate we can have. That's a conversation we can have
But what Fauci just said was a lie.
Yeah, exactly.
It was an absolute misrepresentation. Misleading.
Yep.
We've been working on this for 20 years. Even the guy who did do this 20 years ago came up with the mRNA vaccine technology says, hell no.
Fauci is thinking, I'm talking to some guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Exactly. The condescension in his voice here.
Yep. To get us to be able to do it.
20 years is not enough. And 9 months is definitely not enough for nobody to be taking no vaccination that you all came up with.
The only reason I'm talking to you right now, as close as we are, is that I've been vaccinated.
Right.
But if it allow thousands of people like you don't get vaccinated.
By the way, Muriel Bowser's doing the I ain't been no ways
tired. Oh, I know. She's doing the whole.
I'm down in Anacostia, so I got to talk to you like this now.
She's doing the whole Hillary Clinton thing.
Come
on. But also, the reason I'm standing so close to you right now.
It's because I've been vaccinated.
And we know that that's not true.
That is correct. Well, now, for Muriel Bowser's credit, she might not have known that. At that time, in June, she may have bought what Joe Biden and Anthony Fauci were saying publicly.
That is true.
Which was, you get the shot and you're safe,
won't catch it.
But Fauci's
standing right there.
Fauci knew.
Letting her say it.
Fauci knew that this shot would not protect you from catching the virus and wouldn't keep you from spreading virus. He knew
and
it 1,000%.
You're going to let this virus continue to percolate in this country and in this world.
And here's the guilt. If you don't get the shot, then children will die. Other people are going to die. You need to do this for the good of your country.
Standing right there letting her sell this.
Right, a little bit more of this extraordinary, uncovered piece of history in just a moment. It's 5:43. Let's hear a little bit more of this. Again, this is from June of 2021. PBS is putting it out to sort of show what a saint Anthony Fauci is, I guess, and the ignorance he was up against trying to get people vaccinated. But I think it's showing quite a different thing. This guy is a hero, this guy who lives in D.C.
He's great.
I
like how casual he is, too. Just comes out holding his coffee cup or his phone.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Something like the common flu then, right?
It's much more serious.
That's my favorite thing. If you don't get your shot, then this virus is just going to keep percolating out there. And he goes, oh, you mean like the common flu?
Right.
So good.
Well, the flu kills a lot of people annually, too.
You know how many people died of the flu the last year? I mean, not this year, virtually none, but the previous year, about 20 to 30,000. You know how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
The number that you all given that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
You all's number. And we know now many people have come forward and said, people would get in an automobile accident, head smashed on the pavement, brought into the emergency room, tested for COVID. Oh, it's a COVID death.
They're literally missing their head.
Yeah.
And they're like,
nothing to do with the motorcycle accident. That's another COVID death.
Yep.
Right. We know that now.
Yes.
That was
same with hospitalizations.
Did people die from COVID?
And hospitalizations were used to, oh my gosh, they're running out of beds. Oh my gosh, you know, we're overrun.
Listen, we're not downplaying the fact that many, many, many people died from this, but the vast, vast majority, like the infinitesimally number of people,
you can recognize,
were 70 and over with comorbidities.
Yes. You can recognize the horrors of COVID without having to give in to all this.
I know. But I just, when we say things like this, I mean, so you think it was a hoax? You don't think there was a virus? Of course we're not saying that. But we also know that Anthony Fauci would use numbers like this without explaining them to fool people. To fool people into
to make them feel stupid.
Right.
Yeah.
Pass.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that.
That's right. So this was a time when they were giving people lottery tickets to get vaccinated and giving people free stuff to get vaccinated. And it's treating people like they're stupid.
Yeah.
Like, they're, those black people down in Southeast D.C., they're only going to do it if you give them lottery tickets and things like that. And this guy is like, you know, that smells to high heaven. And let's not forget, this was at a time when we kept hearing that, you know, through the lens of equity, everything shot through the lens of equity, that COVID was hurting the black population harder than anyone else. Why? Because, well, we've learned about this. Sonny Hostin goes on The View and says, I don't go to the grocery store. I have DoorDash do that for me. Well, who's driving that DoorDash car?
Right.
Who's going in there? Minorities, people from the black community, Latino community, people who are, you know, lower income, who need to make the money.
Yeah.
So they're the ones who are going out there. They're risking their lives. They're getting the virus. This guy probably already had COVID.
Right.
He had natural immunity. He knows his basic third grade biology, that the antibodies he's built up in his system are better than what Anthony Fauci is peddling.
Yeah.
And I say that not as an expert. I say that because I've interviewed epidemiologists and doctors for the last 3 years of my life, more than I ever expected to interview. And so now here they are going into the black community saying, we don't care if you've got natural immunity. You've got to get this shot. And this guy dares to stand up and tell the emperor he has no clothes.
Yep.
It's there's nothing more American than this.
No, there isn't.
Something else going on.
You're right. But I'm glad millions of people like me and most everybody here didn't get an incentive. You know what their incentive was? Protecting their health and protecting the city. Well, but that's, I won't keep you anymore.
It's okay, because my incentive, y'all campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear. That's what this pandemic is. It's a fear. It's fear, this pandemic. That's all it is.
Good stuff.
Yeah, very good stuff.
There's one other video here that I want you to hear, and that this is, again, Anthony Fauci just outright lying to a woman about this. This is another house, again, same neighborhood, Anacostia, Southeast D.C., and this is a woman, I believe it's her mother, and then a little girl. So like three generations of girls here.
You guys doing with vaccine?
Oh, I'm not having any yet. I'm waiting for them to be able to.
Oh, you should get it first. Okay, that way you won't give it to them.
Oh, I thought I would give it to them if I get it.
No, not at all. In fact, we got to get you vaccinated so that if you were to get infected, you could pass it on to them.
Oh.
So you're actually protecting your family.
So this is like a little toddler, a two-year-old girl. What do we know, Julie Gunlock, about how COVID-19 affected?
What do we know? We don't just know that's false. We know he knew it was false, and he said it.
Not only you need to protect her because you could give it to her. And by the way, how many two-year-olds have suffered from COVID-19? And had, you know, but so
low
she's
risk for children.
Scaring this low-income black resident of D.C., as a mother saying, you need to get the shot because you want to protect your little baby, don't you?
Yeah.
And then
by getting him vaccinated.
Well, I heard that it doesn't cure it and it doesn't stop you from getting it.
No.
So
on the very, very, very rare chance that you do get it, even.
Very, very, very rare chance. That man right there who just said it's a very, very, very rare chance that you get it. He was vaccinated and triple boosted, wearing double masks when he was standing on a pitcher's mound with no one around him, and he got it.
Yeah.
How many people do you know that have been vaccinated and boosted who have gotten COVID? I know tons of people.
Me.
There you go.
If you're vaccinated, it's a very, you don't even feel sick. It's like you don't even know you got infected. It's very, very good at protecting you.
Just the Anacostia, so get up there. Okay.
All right, see you later.
How many lies? How much misinformation?
Yeah.
I've rendered speechless sometimes that this man is still celebrated in quarters, certain quarters in this country.
And Larry, you think about those hearings with Rand Paul, where he was so dismissive of Rand Paul, who's a doctor,
right,
who asked legitimate questions, continued to lie before Congress.
He's dismissive of all of us.
When is he going to be brought up on and charges of lying to Congress?
There he was telling this woman, if you get the shot, there's a it's a very, 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 very rare chance that you might catch the virus. And if you do, you'll hardly feel a thing. Mm. It'll be mild. It'll be like nothing. Which, good God, we know that's not the case, don't we? Tragically.
Yes.
In fact, the people who are dying from COVID-19 right now, based on the last interview that I did with Dr. Marty McCary, are mostly people older people who have been boosted.
Yeah.
And they're having devastating results of
right.
the virus.
And the pharmaceutical company, of course, is protected, right? They can't.
And
can't,
so is Anthony Fauci.
Yes.
It's amazing how this racket works. Lovely video. I don't think PBS expected, you know, people to see this and have the reaction that everyone has. It's 5:55.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.